This is Keith Hall with Jazz Currents. Join me in our last of three episodes celebrating the birthday centennial of composer, pianist, arranger, and lyricist Billy Strayhorn. In our first episode, we learned of Billy Strayhorn's early life and how he began working with Duke Ellington. Episode 2 explored Strayhorn's epic composition, Lush Life. Our third and final episode will investigate Strayhorn's later works, including some of the suites composed with Duke Ellington. The collaboration between Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn lasted nearly 30 years and produced some of the most remarkable and lasting American music of the 20th century. But while Duke Ellington's name is familiar to many, Billy Strayhorn remains relatively unknown. Billy Strayhorn was a sweet and unassuming man, and one of his nicknames in the band was Sweet Pea. He never really wanted to be in the spotlight, but as a result, he was not often credited for his collaborations with Ellington. Even though Strayhorn would compose music for the band, many assumed that Ellington wrote most of the songs alone. And Duke's name would appear as a co-writer on many of the pieces that Strayhorn had actually written by himself. In the 1950s, Strayhorn left Ellington to pursue his own interests. He was working on a solo career, recording, writing, and producing with his business partner, Luther Henderson. But by the mid-50s, Strayhorn had returned to Ellington after they had agreed that Strayhorn would be given full credit for the work he was doing. Their fresh start ushered in a fruitful era in the Ellington-Strayhorn collaboration. Billy knew Duke's writing style inside and out. You see, early on, Strayhorn had spent time studying Duke's scores and had mastered Duke's writing style. In an interview in Downbeat magazine, Strayhorn said, "Ellington plays the piano, but his real instrument is his band. Each member of the band is to him a distinctive tone, color, and set of emotions, which he mixes with others equally distinctive to produce a third thing, which I like to call the Ellington effect." Ellington and Strayhorn were musical soulmates, and their collaborations became legendary, as heard on the Far East Suite, Such Sweet Thunder, and the Queen Suite. In another interview, Strayhorn recalled a piece he and Ellington had been working on together. He said they each worked on a part of the piece separately and rushed the score to the bandstand without ever having heard it before. As they listened to the newly completed piece, Ellington and Strayhorn laughed because of the similarity of the musical ideas they had come up with independently. In 1957, Duke Ellington released Such Sweet Thunder. This record is a 12-part suite based on the work of William Shakespeare. This was Strayhorn's first equal credit collaboration with Ellington under their new agreement. Both Ellington and Strayhorn loved theater and specifically Shakespeare. In fact, another Strayhorn nickname was Shakespeare, and he could quote whole sections of plays and sonnets from memory. Because his knowledge was so deep, when the band performed at the Stratford Shakespearean Festival, Strayhorn had no problem hanging with some of the world's top Shakespeare scholars. Such Sweet Thunder was a phrase from Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream, and they premiered the work on April 28, 1957 at Town Hall in New York City. Here is Such Sweet Thunder. 1959, the Duke Ellington Orchestra recorded an album called Jazz Party. This included Strayhorn's tune, UMMG. Now, UMMG stands for Upper Manhattan Medical Group, which was the name of the medical office where Dr. Arthur Logan practiced. Dr. Logan was Duke and Billy's personal physician. It was premiered during a 1954 concert tour of the West Coast, and the best-known version was recorded with Dr. Logan on hand and special guest trumpeter Dizzy Gillespie sitting in as the featured soloist. Here is that recording with the great Dizzy Gillespie. This is UMMG. Another one of the suites mentioned earlier is the Queen Suite. In 1959, after having met Queen Elizabeth II in Yorkshire, the Queen Suite was written and recorded. The Queen was then given a single pressing of the recording, which was not used for commercial use until after Ellington's death in 1974. Let's hear some of the first movement in the Queen Suite. This is called Sunset and the Mockingbird. Strayhorn was a man of passionate beliefs. He was a committed civil rights advocate and was a friend of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In 1963, he arranged and conducted the Ellington Orchestra in King Fit the Battle of Bam for the historical review My People, dedicated to Dr. King. This was part of Strayhorn's contributions to the civil rights movement of the 1960s. Let's hear some of King Fit the Battle of Bam.
Turn the hoses on the church people, church people, oh church people, oh, turn the hoses on the church people, and the water came splashing, dashing, crashing. Let me tell you that the bull turned the hoses on the church people. Church.
In 1966, the Duke Ellington Band recorded the Far East Suite. The third movement of the suite, formerly called Elf, we now know as Isfahan, named for one of the largest cities in the world located in Iran. Though Isfahan is part of this suite, it took on a life of its own, being recorded through the years by a wide array of artists from jazz saxophonist Joe Henderson to pop singer Joe Jackson. Here it is, featuring alto saxophonist Johnny Hodges. This is Isfahan. In 1967, Billy Strayhorn was very sick, and yet managed to continue writing. While enduring severe pain from his own hospital bed, he completed his final composition, Blood Count. He communicated the suffering, pain, and hopelessness of his battle with cancer by writing this mournful ballad. At age 51, Billy Strayhorn died in New York City. After his death, Blood Count was recorded on the historic Ellington tribute album to Strayhorn, called And His Mother Called Him Bill. The composition had such an impact on Ellington, he never played the tune again. From a live concert recording featuring Johnny Hodges on the alto saxophone, this is Blood Count. Ellington was understandably devastated by Strayhorn's death. At the funeral, he delivered a eulogy for his friend and writing partner. Ellington said, "Billy Strayhorn demanded freedom of expression and lived in what we consider the most important and moral of freedoms. Freedom from hate, unconditionally. Freedom from self-pity. Freedom from fear of possibly doing something that might help another more than it might himself. And freedom from the kind of pride that could make a man feel he was better than his brother or neighbor." Years earlier, Strayhorn had written a song called Lotus Blossom, which Duke liked so much he began using it to close each show. Ellington and the band then recorded Lotus Blossom on the previously mentioned tribute album. When the session was over and the band was packing up, Ellington went back to the piano. As he sat there alone, he began to play Lotus Blossom. The recording tape was still running. As he played, Harry Carney unpacked his baritone sax, and Aaron Bell took his bass back out, and the two men joined Ellington. It became the last track of the album. Let's hear Lotus Blossom and Duke Ellington with his final eulogy to his friend. Celebrating the birthday centennial of pianist, composer, arranger, and lyricist Billy Strayhorn. He has created a significant and vast body of work, and we've only heard a small portion of it. I encourage you to go listen and enjoy more of the genius of Billy Strayhorn. I'm Keith Hall, and Jazz Currents is produced at WMUK, with support provided by the Irving S. Gilmore Foundation and the Western Michigan University School of Music. Be sure to check out WMUJazz.com for upcoming jazz events. And make sure you get out and experience some live jazz. See you soon.